Wednesday, December 6th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we talk about board games, Verator, Hellas, and Tower of Babel.
Let's do this.
So you ever gone to a hibachi? Well, of course you've gone to hibachi.
Considering that the hibachi down the street knows us.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, people who are listening might not have ever gone to one. But basically, this guy cooks food right in front of you in a flat, hot thing.
Really funly. He bounces an egg around. He sets things on fire.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good Japanese food, too. But basically, you look at, he makes chicken, if you order it, of course. And all he really does is put the chicken on a flat, hot piece of metal. And then it tastes good. Real good. Better than any chicken I've ever made in my life.
Now, I submit to you that the chicken you made for dinner tonight
did not taste like the chicken that guy makes.
Nah, not so much.
But all I did was put chicken in a hot piece of metal. What the hell is he doing? He's doing less than what I did, and somehow it tastes better. What the hell?
Why is it so hard? We love stir fry, and it looks so easy, and we've never made a good stir fry.
No, we suck.
Never.
Nope.
The meat's always stringy and tough and gangly and gristly.
Or undercooked, possibly.
Yeah, overcooked. The vegetables are burned. The vegetables aren't cooked.
What the hell? What the hell is that guy doing?
How you doing that?
How you doing that? It just sucks. See, it's like any... I can cook something out of a cookbook, and it can taste okay, especially if it's something that involves, like, sauces, because sauces cover up anything, but... You know, the actual, that kind of stuff, I just don't understand it. What the hell is he doing?
Yeah, maybe it takes years of training or, you know, chef school.
Maybe, but if I learned it, we'd be eating some good food. Because, I mean, I wouldn't need much. All I need to do is throw meat onto a hot thing and we'd be eating like kings.
Yeah, all I know is that this morning, or I was on the phone with someone in the morning while you were getting up for work.
I thought you were
sleep talking. I thought it was funny that you came home. You mentioned to me that apparently I talk in my sleep, and I do so really clearly.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Rim's talking in his sleep. What the hell? Wow, he said words, real words. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah, I was on the phone.
At 6:30 in the morning.
Yep.
It's kind of weird. Usually people only talk on the phone that early in the morning if they're, like, night watchmen or there's an emergency or who knows.
Night watchmen? That's the example you come up with?
That's the only people I could think of that work at night.
What about people? You know, there are people who get up well before 6:30.
They don't talk on the phone until, like, 7 or 8.
Depends. What if they're an important businessman?
The other important businessmen are still sleeping.
Nah.
And those loser businessmen. Well, they might be calling other loser businessmen.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, podcasts are doing real well, but apparently radio, not so much.
Duh. Oh, yeah. Wait, newsflash. CD's not selling well.
I think...
MP3 download's doing great.
Understatement of the day here, the quote from the article, radio has to reinvent itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gotta say, my car is not the best car, and the CD player's lens gets fogged up, so whenever it's cold or rainy, I can't listen to CDs, and I'm stuck listening to the radio. And honestly, more than half the time, rather than listen to the radio, I just turn the damn thing off and don't listen to anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a new iTrip soon, and we'll be cranking up the iPod in a car.
Yeah.
It's actually better than the previous one, so I don't feel so bad about losing the old one.
I mean... There's just nothing on the radio.
Nothing on the radio. The radio. That was a good song.
Because, I mean, I flipped through this area, and you'd think, I mean, there's a lot of punk kids around here, and pretty much it's our rap station, and stations in Spanish, God people, more God people, country, God people, country, God people, country.
There'd be like one rock station, but it plays the same 10 songs over
and
over.
Yeah, I hear the Led Zeppelin song that I like, and then I hear that song every day, and then I give up.
It's the same songs every day.
And of course, there's
no new songs.
More ads than music.
Yeah, more ads than music will do it to you every time.
Not only more ads, but really piss poor ads.
Well, because the radio only gets local ads. It doesn't get like national big ads. So it's always like some poorly produced... like hack job at a local car dealership or something. And it's just annoying as hell with some stupid jingle that you just want to kill someone. And freaking God, who makes these things?
People who probably make more money than us.
If you want a car dealership, you sure as hell make more money than we do.
Yep. Though, I mean, radio is free and it's doing poorly. And yet Sirius and XM, gangbusters.
Well, they're not doing that much gangbusters.
Compared to radio, they are.
Yeah. But don't expect that to last too long.
Well, actually, that's what the CEO of Clear Channel says. He's not worried. I mean, the quote here from him is, why would you pay for something you can get for free?
Yeah, that's exactly why we're going to do podcasting and not listen to Clear Channel or Sirius or XM.
Yeah. Though, I mean, that analogy, I mean, you can pay, you can get food for free if you go through enough dumpsters. There's a reason you pay the dollar to buy some ramen.
Yeah, it's because the ramen tastes a little bit worse, but is a little bit less disease in it.
Hey, don't be knocking my Kitsune ramen. You know, it comes with the freeze-dried bean curd.
I like bean curd. I don't like freeze-dried bean curd.
Yeah, what are you going to get for a dollar?
4 packs of bubble gum.
So it seems that, I mean, radio's on the downturn, but inversely, the podcasts are on the upturn.
Yeah, we just said that.
Yeah, but we're not the only one saying that now. Apparently.
I think people said it before we said it.
Podcast is this year's word of the year from the new Oxford American Dictionary.
It's an Oxford American Dictionary?
Yeah.
Wait, but we've been looking in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have been looking in the Oxford American Dictionary because that one is our language.
You realize
not...
this only applies to Scrabble.
Really?
Our use of dictionaries. When was the last time you used a dictionary that didn't involve Scrabble?
Because we argue about when a word is real or not.
Yeah, and you go to dictionary.com.
Or how a word is pronounced.
Yeah, just because you don't know how to pronounce things.
You don't know how to pronounce things.
Solder. As in, I use a soldering iron.
Let's go look in the Oxford English Dictionary and see what it says.
Yeah, how do you pronounce solder?
Solder.
Titan, you know, the Greek tall guys.
There's a difference between the Greek tall guys, they don't exist.
Titan?
They're not real.
How do you say it?
Titan.
Titan.
Like the Titanic.
Or Titan.
Only without the ick.
Depending on how Midwestern you are.
Anyway.
But they pick a word of the year every year. And the runners-up this year were bird flu.
That's not a word. It's two
life
words.
Hack.
Life
that's,
hack?
That was one word.
That's not, maybe.
Persistent vegetative state.
I guess that's because the stupid... That's not a word, though. That's a phrase.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, here's one. Squick.
What the hell is squick?
Cause immediate and thorough revulsion. I don't know.
Never heard of it.
That's not what I think of when I hear the word squick.
It's not. It shouldn't even be a word. No one uses it. At least no one I know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a British thing.
So I guess podcast has the dubious honor of beating those other words.
Well, last year, the word of the year was blog.
Huh, I see a trend.
You know what? If I can figure out the word of the year for next year, I'll be loaded because the guy who thought up blogs, loaded. Guy who thought up podcasts, loaded.
Yeah, so
if I can think up what it's going to be next year, loaded. All right. So, speaking of podcast, iTunes, you know, they got the little video downloads for the iPod video.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally, some TV companies, you know, I guess networks, turned around and decided, hey, we got to get in on this. And now there's a lot more videos coming from other networks and things.
Actual shows?
Actual shows. Not...
Can I watch some Dukes of Hazzard and Knight Rider?
There's some Knight Rider. There's no Dukes of Hazzard.
Ah, there should be.
Yeah, let's see. They got show I don't care about, Law and Order. My grandma can watch that. Some show I never heard of.
Grandma has a video iPod?
No.
Oh.
But she watches anything having to do with police, detectives, or lawyers all day. That's the only thing she watches on TV, police, detectives, and lawyers.
I wonder what this is going to do to the whole TV model. Especially if they notice that people are willing to pay to get little TV shows without commercials on a tiny, tiny screen.
Well, what's probably going to happen is TV will die, and they'll keep selling all their old TV shows for, you know, a few bucks per episode to download on the internet. Probably DVD sales of TV shows will probably go away, because people only get the episodes they want instead of paying out the ass for a giant box set. And we'll all be good as long as there's no DRMs.
DRM.
As long as there's no DRMs, we'll buy into it. I would. If there was no DRMs, I would totally get it.
Yeah, and it depends on the price.
It definitely depends on the price. I mean, apparently most of these people are doing the $2 an episode.
It's not too bad.
But I think people were talking like the Conan O'Brien stuff is like mispriced, or like they set the prices on that to like be ridiculously stupid or something, and I can guarantee you the sales of that are going to be less than everything else because of that, and they'll learn their lesson.
I guess $2 seems fair, but I'm still, 99 cents seems like a lot for a song.
Yeah. What I'm hoping for, actually, is the only thing I really missed from TV besides, like, you know, a few shows.
Sports?
That I, yeah, sports.
If yeah, I, well, pretty much just hockey and F1.
Yeah. If someone could tell me that, like, I can download, like, all the Rangers games for $100 a year with no commercials and no annoying talking guys, or I can select the talking guys that I like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even need to see the game live, because I can find out who won on the internet.
Yeah, or I can download, say, every F1 race of the year in full video with no commercials and select the guys I want to talk, or, you know, have no guys talking.
Well, apparently we can download that motocross.
Yeah, well, it's MotoGP. It's like the Formula One of motorcycles. They're 500cc bikes, and they could go 200 miles an hour. Well, they could mechanically, yeah. But the people who ride them don't push them that fast because they'll die.
I mean, 500cc, my Mario Kart goes 150cc right there.
Mario Kart, not equal motor. Anyway. But, you know, and they drive on some of the same courses that F1 drives on. So it's like the F1 of motorcycles. And for them, if you pay some, I think it's like $50 a year or something like that, you can watch every race on the computer. If they don't have it on TV where you live, or, you know, if you just want to save them and watch them later, or, you know, rewind, fast forward, no commercials. And it's really helping them out. In fact, I'd never even cared about motorcycle racing. I think I'm going to go to their website and watch a race and see if it's entertaining to watch.
I got
to
say, I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if this bike's going over 100 miles an hour with a guy holding on for freaking dear life. That's got to be freaking good shit.
Because there's a lot of things like that that I'm interested in, but there's really no way to enjoy them or to watch them.
Without paying out the ass, and I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah, like I like rally racing and I like F1. I can't see it.
Nope.
I can get, like, stupid clips of idiots crashing their cars trying to do, like, Super Drifto.
Yeah. I heard the ESPN was talking with the iTunes Music Store, and, you know, maybe they're going to do some stuff, like, you know, maybe SportsCenter or something. I would pay $50 a year to have SportsCenter automatically downloaded to my computer every day.
With no ads.
With no ads, of
yeah.
course.
No ads is key.
With no ads and no DRM, I would pay $50 a year for SportsCenter.
See, the
I think they're
going
to charge you $2 an episode for SportsCenter, in which case there's no way, but...
Yeah,
we'll
plus iTunes doesn't run in Linux.
Yep.
And I don't have Windows anymore.
I mean, think about this. This is going to be big money because most people, I mean, I could get ESPN as part of a cable package, right, for $50 a month. $50 a year for just one show. Think about how many shows I get for $50 a month. I'm willing to pay $50 a year for one show. If you give me five shows, that's $250. The cable companies are cut out of the loop. The guys making the actual content, fuck their ad dollars. They're getting so many dollars from people like me buying the show for a year. They get rid of all the shows that nobody watches.
See, part of the problem is that...
It'd be great.
I saw a statistic. It was kind of scary, and I can't verify this at all because I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying that on many networks, new TV shows are pushing the 17-minute mark in terms of content versus ads.
Awesome.
17 minutes of show.
But you see, you know, actually, that's not so bad because if they cut the ads out, right, I don't want to watch a show for like a freaking hour. I want to watch like a 10-minute show, especially if it's something like SportsCenter.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there for an hour watching sports news. I don't have time for that shit.
Well, I point
what
out
I
want to
do is I want to sit on the train and go push a button and get all the sports news in maybe 10, 15 minutes, see the awesome clips, you know, and have someone tell me what happened, and then I'm done.
Well, I point out the addictive power of our day killer tapes.
The day killer
tapes. We have
tapes.
These day killers. Basically, when I was young, my family taped everything off of TV. And we taped it in such a way that there are no openers, closers, or advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 8-hour tapes of just, you know, Simpsons. Simpsons episodes running into each other constantly until the tape runs out.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld, all that stuff. And in college, if one of us put that tape in, day was shot. And we'd pretty much just sit there until the tape ended.
Yeah, that's how that stuff goes.
So I could see someone downloading episodes of something one by one and just getting hooked and just buying the whole thing.
Yeah, see, I'm looking more to add to my podcasting stuff because what I do now is because the podcast, the reason I like the podcast is because I can listen to them and work at the same time. Because, you know, if it's not on my screen, I can have work on the screen and work doesn't go on my ear because I'm not an audio worker. So it's good. But if I had video, I could watch it on the train. I try not to listen to podcast any other time because then I think, oh, I could listen to it at work when I can't do anything else.
Ah.
So if I could get like a couple shows, maybe like a half hour, an hour of shows worth a day, or maybe an hour and a half of shows a day, I could watch those on the train to and from work, and I'd be all set. You know, it'd be perfect. You know? But right now, I can't get that for a price I'm willing to pay in a format I like.
Well, plus, you don't seem to have enough time to even play all the video games we've got.
I'm playing Mario and Luigi. I'll finish it.
Yeah, bit by bit. You're slacking off on the Mario Kart.
You're slacking off big time, more than me.
I'm playing my Mario Kart.
I beat my Mario Kart. Now I'm playing Mario and Luigi. All right. Anyway, speaking of them video games.
Acclaim!
Acclaim, who went out of business a long time ago. Someone's auctioning off the publishing rights to all their games.
Yeah, now we're not sure if this is the, like, rights to the name or just the rights to that one specific game.
Yeah, it says publishing rights. Now, I'm sure that if you buy the publishing rights, let's see something on the list that's obvious. Here we go. Fantastic Four. If you buy the publishing rights to Fantastic Four, somehow I don't... This is the video game from August 97, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think this gives you the right to, like, go publishing Fantastic Four comic books and things and
yeah,
making though, new Fantastic Four video games.
The closest thing I could see being feasible would be if, say, you got the right to make another Fantastic Four game or modify the game you just bought.
I'm sure you can modify the game you just bought.
All right, what if I modified it to the extent that it's now 3D and runs on the Xbox?
I don't know.
See, that's the problem. we're seriously going to call them and find out.
Yeah, I'm going to call these guys tomorrow because there's some games on this list that are worth owning. I mean,
and they have no bids. Like, we could just buy them for $5.
Well, I don't know if we could buy them for $5. There might be a minimum they're willing to accept. But I'm surprised that Mortal Kombat's 1 and 2 don't have any bids. I mean, alone, if I bought Mortal Kombat, the rights to publish Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, right? Let's say the only right I got was that I could publish and sell these games in their current state.
ROMs for a buck?
I could sell ROMs of Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 for a buck and go around suing people who are distributing ROMs of it.
Ah,
and
I
could make back my $1,000 investment on those rights so fast. It would be totally worth it. But some of these other games, not so much worth it. I mean, who wants to buy the rights to... let's find a real bad one.
I can think of
Super
a lot of
High
games.
Impact from October 93.
Super High Impact sounds cool. You know, you got objects hitting things at
high
speed.
Yeah. If you buy the rights to publish that game, you're not going to make so much money.
What kind of game is it?
I have no clue. It doesn't say.
Never heard of it.
It's just a list of numbers, names, and dates and years. That's it.
How do you know that isn't some awesome game?
I don't, but I imagine it's really old and I've never heard of it.
See, they're not selling the rights to, like, that Pac-Man World game.
I don't think it's an Acclaim game, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I think Namco owns the rights to all the Pac-Man games because, you know, they invented Pac-Man.
Yeah. It's still the worst game ever made.
You'd have to name an Acclaim game. Anyway. All right, you fuckers.
Yeah, you don't like our music?
Fine, you won't get any. You'll get something annoying instead. It's a thing of the day. Thing of the day.
Yeah, it's fine. We're glad that you guys were very honest and didn't say, like, oh, it's okay. If something sucks, tell us it sucks and we'll fix it, like, right away.
Yeah, but we'll
notice we're not playing it right now.
We'll still be bastards to you.
Yeah, we'll be bastards, but actually we came up with a good idea. This, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to sit down with my piano and make some short little, like, piano riffs that'll go before all the bits.
Yeah, like a chime or a jingle.
Yeah, or like a...
not even a jingle.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, what's your thing?
Oh, my thing?
Yep.
It's not a new thing, but it's new to me. It's kind of, and I heard about it, I forgot about it, then I wanted to talk about it, then I forgot about it again.
All right, get to it.
Yeah. But remember Doom and Doom 2?
No, I forgot. What the hell are those?
Yeah. Well, you can play them online now.
Yeah, I could have played them online before.
You can play them online easily with other people over the internet and not, you know, IPX network serial modem style.
I could do that before. It was just, you know, with the Kali.
Yeah, Kali. Kali's still around?
I don't know. I had it. I bought it for $20 for life, so I still own it technically.
I don't think Kali still exists.
It kind of stopped working after, like, a couple years of it being awesome, and then
yeah.
I stopped using it.
But this is basically just Doom and Doom 2 online now in a little account-based thing, kind of like Steam, only not big and bloated. And you can just play Doom with people. I think I'm going to get on board this if I can, because as many people are aware, I am the greatest Doom player there ever was.
Well, we'll soon find that out, won't
people
we?
People will hollow my name into the heavens.
Until maybe you'll just get a face full of rockets and plasma. Or, you know, shot a hot plasma up
See,
the ass.
See, I don't use rocket launchers. I feel they're too easy. I use solely the regular shotgun and the plasma gun. I'll use no other weapon.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when you, like, you know, get pooned.
Yeah, I will see if I actually get to play it, because it's Windows only, and Wine doesn't always like things like this.
Anyway, my thing of the day is this cool board game here. Now, you've played those things online where it's like there's a laser, and you have to rotate things to get the laser.
Laser.
Yeah. You know, there's like they simulate a laser beam, and you have to move things to reflect it to go in a certain path, and then you solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Well, someone made a board game called Deflection.
Is there a K in there?
No, it's Deflexion.
Ah.
Deflexion.biz. And it's a board game where you have an actual laser and actual mirrors and a grid with, like, little triangle prism pieces and stuff.
Huh.
And you move things around trying to get the laser to reflect in the way you want.
That sounds fun. It
might
be gimmicky.
Based on a set of rules.
But it sounds fun.
Yeah, it is gimmicky, but it's like, think of, it's like a competitive turn-based puzzle game of moving things in a tile grid, but they have mirrors on them. And some of them don't have mirrors on them. They just block the laser.
Huh.
So it looks pretty cool. Like, it could be fun. I don't know what the rules are, and I don't know how much it is if I want to pay for it.
I will find out on Board Game Geek.
Yeah. Probably, if it ends up there, which it should.
Yeah. Though that segues nicely, since you guys seem to want segues, into our main bit.
Segue, and whoever spelled it S-E-G-W-A-Y, that means the little two-wheeled thing that you ride on. Segue. Yeah, segue that transitions from one topic of discussion to another. That's S-E-G-U-E.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's board game day, and we've got the good, the bad, and the mediocre. Though starting with the good, that game Verrater that we were talking about.
Verrater in German, it means traitor.
It's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
We only played it once, and we played it three-player, which I contend three-player is broken. Scott disagrees. We're not sure yet.
I'm pretty sure the three-player is not broken, because look, if you're in third place, right, what you do is you team up with the second-place guy, right? So both of you are getting, the second and the third-place guys will continue to get points. Hopefully, because they'll win. Theoretically, if it's a team of two against one, you'll win. If you're not going to win, then you lose anyway. The other guy beat you. And the first place guy will keep not getting points. Then, as soon as you're, you know, the second place guy overtakes, you know, and becomes the first place guy, you pick the Verrater, and you, now you're again, you're with the former first place guy. And now, so basically you got points because you were with the winner, and you switch, and now your points with the winner again, and...
See, except the problem with that is that, one, every fight is always two versus one, unless it's everyone versus no one, which is dumb.
It could be three versus one.
In a three-player game? No. It's always two versus one.
All right, it could be three versus zero.
Yeah, three versus zero doesn't have any effect on the game, really. The problem
yeah,
is,
but what you could do is if you're ahead and you're in first place, you want to make it three versus
see,
zero.
See, that's the problem. In the three-player game, basically, whoever's losing always wants to Verrate. And, one, it's hard to get cards in the game. Not like Moiterer. I think I like Moiterer more, even though we haven't actually played it yet.
Nah.
Because it's actually hard to refill your hand. So often, you know exactly what you should do, but you don't have any means to do it.
But everyone else also has to refill their hands. You're not alone.
But, like, if someone else takes the Verrater, or the Verrater just happens to be hidden in the pile of cards that aren't used, you're boned.
You got nine turns, you know? If you just got to play it right straight from the beginning.
Yep.
Meanwhile, like, in the one game that we played, I point out that I was, you know, you complain that, oh, the guy in third place couldn't catch up, whatever. Well, how did he end up in third place? I was the one who figured out the game right a freaking way, taking the Verrater in, like, the second turn, you know? The idea is that, one, some people are going to get points and other people aren't. So you always want to be on the side that's going to get points.
Yeah, but you don't always get to choose your side, and you don't always get to choose which side wins.
You get to choose, well, you get, you know, you put as much into it as you can, and if you don't put enough into it, or if you can't, well, that's, you know, that's part
of
the game.
See, I think part of it is that I'm disillusioned because Moiterer looks so much more interesting.
Moiterer looks a little better. We're going to have to play it and see. You know.
Yeah.
It is a newer, you know, game on the same engine, and it's a little more refined, so we'll see.
Yeah, plus it's got pirates, man.
Yeah, pirate theme always helps.
Now, the bad, we talked about Hellas before, but now we've played it a little more, and every single time we've played, we have run into multiple, as in more than one, ambiguous rules that we had to look for errata online. And there was no errata to be found.
Yeah, what kind of German board game doesn't have perfect rules?
Yeah, I mean, both of us were guilty of avoiding certain strategies because we were afraid that they would end up in an ambiguous situation where we wouldn't know how to resolve it by the rules.
And it doesn't help that, you know, this whole game is, you know, playing cards that have certain magic powers on them.
And some cards are clearly better than others.
Some cards are clearly better than others, and you can pick which kind of card you get. And the text on the cards is the only information the game gives you as to how the cards work, and the text on the cards is completely not descriptive enough.
Yep, or it's overly descriptive in a useless way.
Yep. Like this one that says, take two attacks, one after the other. It's like, all right, well, do I get to regroup between the attacks?
Yep, or am I forced to regroup? Do I lose my extra guys because I have a three limit, or does that happen at the end of my turn?
Doesn't tell you any of this stuff anywhere, and people online are basically making arbitrary decisions.
Yep.
Not a good thing in a game where you want to be very precise.
Especially
and
for
tactical.
People like us. I mean, I guess there's two kinds of board gamers. And there was evidence way back, we had a Risk party where we had a bunch of people at someone's house and we split the room up and we had two groups on two different Risk boards. Mm-hmm. Just playing two different games. One group just started playing immediately. That was the other group. Our group sat there for about 40 minutes arguing about the rules before we even started to play.
Yep.
We're the latter. That's us. We won't play a game unless it's perfect. And if the rules don't match up, we will search the internet until we find errata, or we just give up.
Yep. I mean, what's the point of playing a game if you're not going to play it right? I mean, the reason you play a game is because you want to have a competition that's fair and under certain rules, and you know, have a nice thinking exercise. If you're not clear about what the rules are or what the hell's the point?
Because then it's hard to come up. I mean, you can't even really come up with a strategy. Because, like in Hellas, I came up with a great strategy to load up a place and then play the two attack card and then attack twice and I'll have a bunch of guys for two attacks. But it's not clear if I lose those extra guys due to the limit of how many guys you can have in a place.
I mean, imagine, just if you don't understand, think about playing a game like soccer. Imagine if you weren't clear about the rules of soccer, but you played anyway.
Like, say you weren't sure.
Then it's no longer a game. It's just some people kicking a ball around all willy-nilly.
Say you knew the rules, you just weren't sure if the goalie could actually touch the ball with his hands or not. And say the ref didn't know either. And you ask the ref, well, what do you do if I touch the ball with my hands? And he says, I'm not sure. Try it.
You can't play a game like that. And then when the goalie actually touches the ball with his hands, the ref has to like call a timeout, and you know what the hell's the point of playing?
Yeah,
it's just crap. The game, I think, would be a much better game if you solved all the rules problems. It would still be it would be an okay game.
Yeah, I think what we're actually going to do is sit down and decide on every ambiguity and write our own little fact and put it online.
Yeah, it would be like, we can't find the official real deal, but this is what we've decided for all these rules. And if any of the rules decide, you know, turn out they don't work, we'll change them.
Yep.
But what I'd like to do even more is, because the pieces of the game are so cool, and it's two-player.
Little Greeks, little ships, little archipelagos.
Yeah, is to make up some sort of other game using the same pieces that's two players and is cool.
Yeah, we need two-player games.
Maybe we can make the game better just by replacing all the cards, you know.
Huh.
With a different set of cards where all the cards are equal. Ooh, hiccups. Where all the cards are equal and also fully descriptive.
Yeah. Mm. Though, the mediocre.
Yeah.
Tower of Babel.
I'm glad I didn't buy that game and someone else bought it.
We feel bad. Our friend bought it and it looked like a cool game.
You always feel bad when someone buys a game that no one likes.
Yeah. The game is just really, really simple and everything's out in the open and really short.
Yeah, actually it was really short. You're right.
Because you basically all you do is bid on these little discs and you get points based on the discs.
The end.
Yeah.
And if you bid on certain discs and you bid certain amounts or offer certain amounts.
Yeah, it has this really cool acceptance dynamic where everyone offers bids and then the person who started that action gets to choose which offers he takes and it affects everyone accordingly. So you're playing with four people and you pick your friend Steve's bid because he's losing and you'd rather give him some points that won't help him win, or, you know, it's got a lot of coolness to it. It just wasn't really well executed.
Yeah, and the other problem is that the offering is such a cool mechanic, except for the fact that it seems to always pay to offer as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying... I looked... There was this,
I offered my entire hand every round for most of the game, and I tied for first.
Yep. I mean, I kept looking at the side of the board where there was this extra scoring track, and it looked to me like the extra scoring track was where to get the big points. So I went all out for that. But the people who just offered a bunch of cards and didn't have their offers accepted... Because if someone rejects your offer of three cards, you get 3 points. So the people who just offered a whole bunch of cards and never had them accepted... and kept getting a bunch of points, ended up getting more points than I did going through all the effort of scoring big on the track.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty silly.
So I'd like to play the game one more time to make sure, but I think I'm done with that game.
I think I want to have a bidding game, but I'm thinking that this game...
You gotta get that Medici.
Medici that I hear about is the supposedly the bidding game to get.
Pizarro was fun. I liked it.
Pizarro was the worst bidding game ever.
I loved Pizarro.
Yeah, you suck.
Pizarro is the purest bidding game ever. You bid on like 6 things, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Then you score.
Yeah. There's also that Vegas game I played with the board game guys.
You've talked about that multiple times already.
Yeah, it seemed like a cool bidding game.
Yeah.
You know, I might actually buy it depending how much it is now that I know that I'm going to get a pile of monies.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe I will. We would have fun playing it.
Yeah, worst case, it goes on the pile of games we don't play anymore, like Tikal and El Grande.
Well, I just wish that, you know, we had more. If we had 3 people, we could play all these games. But
well, this weekend, we're going to have one of our friends out.
All right.
We're thinking of interviewing him, because he knows a lot about biotech and that sort of thing.
Play some Moiterer.
And he mispronounces anime words in a comical fashion.
Can't even pronounce water.
That's just because he's from Pennsylvania.
Water.
Yeah, but we love Scott anyway. The other Scott. There's 2 Scotts. That'll be great on the podcast. Hi, I'm Scott.
Well, man, it'll be awesome and hilarious.
Yeah. It works out because we call him Skojo instead of Scott.
Mm-hmm.
It seems we've had a lot of instances in our lives where we've had multiple people with the same first name, and we just kind of democratically assign one of them a new name, and it becomes their name.
Haha, I am always the Scott.
There were 3 Alexes, so we named one of them John.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so you guys once again wanted segues, so some meta bits here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
we're glad that so many of you actually joined the forums and checked out the website after we asked you to.
Yep.
The forums are hopping.
Well, they're not super hopping like some other forums I hang out in for other podcasts and things, but they're definitely the most hoppinest forums that I have ever had for me.
They're hopping more than our secret forum where we play Dungeons & Dragons with our friends.
Shh, it's secret to everybody. But, you know, now that it's hopping, you know, if anyone else is out there and wasn't joining the forums before or just joined us and isn't in the forums or anything like that, come hang out in the forums.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of good discussion.
Yeah, don't be a lurker. I don't like lurkers.
I lurk in a lot of places, though.
I don't lurk, but... Or at least if I lurk, I post at least super rarely, like when I can't contain myself.
No, when I lurk, I lurk. As in, I don't even have accounts. I just read forums.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. I make a discussion in the forums for every podcast now. I'm going to try to keep doing that. Also, it helps me keep track of the number of the podcast episode.
Yeah.
I think we're coming up on 20. This might even be 20.
Well, your numbering is one off from not my numbering. We should probably correct that at some point.
How is your numbering off? I counted all the posts on the blog.
Yeah, and one of the posts doesn't have a track number because we posted it well after the fact, after we'd started.
I don't care about that.
All right. So the track number is one off from the number you put in the forums.
The number I put in the forums is the number of podcasts that we have put on the internet, and that's what I consider to be the right. Unless you want to name number the first one 0.
Yeah, the first one 0, then that's fine.
All right, so then I'll subtract 1.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
We're not worried about it. You guys are smart. You'll figure it out.
It's not a big deal, but
yeah, we also noticed that there's no previous button on the main page of our site. So it's tough to get into all the old podcasts.
I'm going to fix that. I don't know. This is a broken WordPress theme.
We just noticed it, so don't hate on us.
I don't think anyone's had a problem with it yet.
Yeah. I hope no one tried to go into our archives and couldn't get there.
Yeah. There is a search box that you can search for podcasts, you know, the format of the date, you can just type in like 007, whatever the number the date is, and then...
There is not a single one that has 007 in it.
I just be quiet.
What? Where did you come up with that? That's not even.
They all start with zeros, and I pick 7 because it's a nice number. You know, I must have James Bond in my mind or something. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's all we got. So I'm gonna segue into the closing music now.
Yeah, and tomorrow we're gonna talk about.
Oh yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow's anime day. We actually just watched Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex 2, second gig.
Yep, we could talk about that.
It's pretty badass. We had a lot to say about it.
Yep. Maybe I could talk about some of the cool comics I'm going to buy tomorrow.
Yeah, comics and manga.
Yep.
So it's going to be a generic anime day, but our main bit is going to be Standalone Complex 2. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussion. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.